This is the Black College Nines, our extended version of our podcast segment. Again, we are focusing on the HBCU, historically Black College and University head coaches, the many head coaches that take on programs, these baseball programs, and their many kids and how they interact with these kids in the programs, and not just mending these kids, but playing a sport. One of America's best sports, and especially at the college level. And our podcast series today is with Edward Waters College head baseball coach, Reginald Johnson. Reginald Johnson, how are you today?
Hey, man. Well,
still
here another day. Thank you for having me.
So how's it going in warm, sunny Jacksonville?
But everything's good. It's definitely getting warm.
Well, it's Florida. It's supposed to be. It's a good place for baseball.
Yes, sir.
Well, Coach, like I said, our podcast series is all about coaching, all about the head coaches of the many different HBCU programs that are played. And what led you to coaching?
I was blessed at a young age to have great coaches. You know, those that inspired me to be a better person as well as a better ball player. You know, I was also blessed to be raised by both my mother and father. However, outside the household, you know, in little league, high school, college, I've always had good coaches that, you know, made a difference in my life. And whenever it was time for me to give up, hang the cleats up. You know, I wanted to make a difference in someone else's life by coaching.
Is that what led you to coach Edward Waters College baseball?
Yeah. I got an opportunity to actually play at Edward Waters, coming back to Jacksonville with me being from Jacksonville, and Coach Al Burton and Terrell Poole and Paul Burton, gave me an opportunity to play ball at Edward Waters. You know, great man. And you know, once again, you know, the opportunity to play the game and give me an opportunity. And that was, and having the opportunity to come here to start my coaching career, team coaching career, you know, that was definitely a blessing.
Well, tell me something, Coach. Every coach has to go on a recruiting trip. I know recruiting trips is something that has to be done at the college level. And I know it's not an easy task, but it's the task that has to be done if you want to continue that program, especially when you're fielding. Each year you have to field the positions you need to fill, those positions you need to target. Who do you target on recruiting trips?
First thing, you know, we're in a different situation at Edward Waters as far as finances. So, you know, I don't have a lot of scholarship or grant aid dollars. So therefore, you know, the first thing are grades for me, you know, checking guys out, before taking the time to, you know, get on the road, you know, doing a little research, talk to some coaches, talk to some guidance counselors, see how their grades are, and then we're seeing them play, obviously. The way we look at it now, my coaching staff and I, to see if that athlete is better than what we already have in that position. So we kind of go the high school route. We fill in every once in a while with a junior college guy between catching and pitching. But we kind of go the high school route mainly because of the opportunity for academic scholarships and things of that sort.
Well, what is your recruiting timeline? And how far can you go?
With the DNAI, you know, there's really no timeline. You know, I do a lot over the summer and the fall. Well, in the winter. I do a lot during the summer, during the winter time. Summer I'm out quite a bit. My coaches are out quite a bit. And we try to knock that stuff out as quickly as possible during the summertime. Put guys on our radar their sophomore, junior year, you know, follow them and make sure you know, the grades are up to par, make sure they're developing, and then, you know, going into that senior year, you know, trying to put the ink to the paper.
When I played, and I played 3 years of college baseball, when I played, one thing we were told that as a freshman, usually your junior year is when you become a good team, especially if it's a freshman-led team. They said usually you're around in your junior year, then that's when you all make some noise. When you recruit freshmen, what percent remain with you and your program for 4 years?
I'm sorry, repeat that.
When you recruit freshmen, what percent remain with you and your baseball program for 4 years?
We've actually been pretty good. We actually, all of the freshmen that we recruited, you know, the first year we had a few that ended up leaving, but since then they've all stayed. I'm actually graduating my first recruiting class this year. And, you know, from that recruiting class, only one of the junior college guys left. And, you know, we were out of last year's team, we graduated two, and, you know, and everybody else returned. And, you know, the biggest thing is with me, my coaching staff, is the academic side of it. You know, we go after those guys with high academic standards, and you know, the academic side of it kind of is what keeps them, GPAs up, keep the eligibility, as well as not wanting to transfer, because that prolongs their education. And like I said before, when we're recruiting a lot of these guys, the question we ask ourselves, are they as good, if not better, than what we already have? So as freshmen, you know, they come in and they contribute right away. Last year's freshman class, we started four freshmen last year, you know, so... You know, they get here, they get into the family atmosphere, they love the program, they love the coaches, they love one another, it's a brotherhood, and most importantly, they're getting an opportunity to play, and they're being successful on the field, and that's what was on the field. So the guys that, we have a good retention as of late. These past 4 years, we've been retaining guys pretty well.
Is that one of the reasons why you have a good coaching style?
I believe so. It's I've inherited the things from previous coaches, and surprisingly enough, a lot of what I do and a lot of what we do as a staff, it's not necessarily about what's done on the field. You know, we harp on a lot of life lessons, a lot of things in which when ball is over, how it's going to change your life as a man in the future. So, you know, and the guys understand it, the guys respect that, and, you know, with having our alumni come back and seeing the changes and seeing what we've done, as well as a lot of them saying, I didn't understand it then, but I now understand it now, and are grateful for the way we approach things.
But so that's leading me to this question that I'm going to ask you. So what kind of players fit into your system?
Those that love the game, you know, as well as just good people, you know, just good people that's not selfish, you know, those that are wanting to work, those that are wanting to get better, those that are coachable, you know, that's the biggest thing. You know, there's a lot of great athletes out there, and at the situation at Edward Waters where we're at, and, you know, as far as the money available to go out and get certain guys, the money available as far as grant and aid dollars, you know, we don't have a lot of it. So, therefore, you know, a lot of these guys are either on academics or they're paying their way. So the guys that fit into our system are those that are hungry. You know, some other schools may have passed up on them, and, you know, they're in that process of wanting to, you know, prove people wrong and appreciative of the opportunities in which they were given. So those that, you know, the guys that fit in our program are, they're a little hungry, like the work, you know, discipline, as well as just good people.
Do you require your players to have summer obligations, like summer ball, or some sort of tournament to better their skills?
I don't require it. There are a few guys. We've had a few pitchers that go up north and play summer ball. A few position players play down south. And we have a few guys that go overseas. I don't make it mandatory, but I do tell them, you know, as we have our exit meetings at the end of the year with the coaching staff, this is what we want to see you do. We want to see you, you know, get bigger, faster, stronger. You know, you guys want you to lose some weight, get more athletic shape. You know, so we give them what, how we expect them to be in the fall. You know, and it's one of those things where over the past couple of years with us doing a little more recruiting and recruiting younger, you know, the retention has been good. So we were able to bring in a couple more position guys. So it's like, this is your opportunity to get better and to maintain your position. However, somebody else is just as hungry. So it's that battle with one another. You know, that competition, that friendly competition to get one another better. So, you know, you go home over the summer, you go play ball, you go train, and you get better, and you come back, and nothing's lost. Or you go take some time off and relax and don't get better. Somebody else is going to take that spot that you had last year.
So that means basically that a freshman has just as much opportunity as a senior. So you do have a revolving door of interactive players who produce, not just because one player had a good year the following season, but if the freshman steps in and outperforms him, he'll get that opportunity to play as well.
Yes. You know, we talk a lot. Again, you know, it's one of those things where it's not about baseball, it's about life. You know, in the real world, just because you had a good year the previous year, you have certain expectations for the next year, you fall short and somebody else steps up and does better, you know, you may not get that position, you may not get that promotion somebody else will. So, you know, it's a friendly competition, and we have a whole thing about, you know, manning up. Just man up, you know, hold yourself accountable, hold one another accountable. So, at the end of the day, you know that somebody else is playing better than you, so there's no need to be mad about it. There's no need to be upset about it. There's no need to, you know, want to point fingers, because it's your fault that you didn't do what was needed. And it's shaky at the beginning of the fall, you know, but after, you know, after a little bit and, you know, a nice little battle and, you know, them being able to be mean about the situation, you know, everybody's just like, is in that position where they know, all right, well, I didn't do what I needed to do, so now it's time for me to step up and win my spot back. And then we have a good 1-2 punch at that position.
Well, not to switch subjects, but what is your travel schedule like?
It varies. You know, this year in our travel schedule, we've had several cancellations this year. You know, so it's kind of taking a hit, but you know, we were scheduled to go to, you know, Alabama to play Talladega, which we will. We're scheduled to go to Tougaloo, out to Mississippi, but we're not. And, you know, mostly, you know, South Carolina, you know, the Morris and out to Sumner, South Carolina. And we were scheduled to go to Columbia, South Carolina, but that was canceled as well. So we... between Atlanta, South Carolina, the Sumner, South Carolina, and the state of Florida. So it varies from down to Miami, out to Alabama, up to Atlanta.
Well, I want to discuss something with you about the conference, the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference. That's the conference you play in. It's a very tough conference, especially with Talladega. Last year, Edward Waters college baseball team finished your conference record was 12-2. Overall, you were 34-22. A very good season. This year, since you were the conference champion during last season, do you all, I think you all hosted the conference tournament this year, correct me if I'm wrong.
if we get to host it this year?
Yes.
No, we actually, we're actually now, we've joined with the Independent Conference. So we're going to be in Lawrenceville, Georgia, at Georgia Gwinnett.
So it's
us, Tulu, Talladega, and Voorhees, you know, kind of merged over with the Independent Conference.
So, and my understanding with that is, if you finish second or third in the conference tournament, there's a good chance that you'll get a chance to go to the NAIA tournament. Is that correct?
Yes, that's what we've been told. You know, top three teams, because there's a total of 15 teams in this independent conference that are eligible for postseason play. And what's been told is the top three teams get a regional bid.
That's a good situation, Coach. If you think about it, if you really think about it, it used to be if you won your conference, then you were the only team selected to attend and to get selected in the NAIA tournament. And then that wasn't always the case. That you had to have a super duper season for the NAIA to invite you to one of its regional tournaments. And then you have to kind of put it there. So you're in a situation as to where if you make it to the conference final, or if you are the first team in the conference semifinals, then you're headed to the national tournament. Is that how it's set up?
From what we were told, yes, that's how it's set up, because of there being so many teams that are in the independent conference.
Why is it being held with Georgia Gwinnett?
That is where I believe they voted to have it. And this was actually done before we entered. This was done before we entered, from my understandings. You know, I guess a few of the schools put in a bid to host it, and that's where they decided to host it.
Well, it's a good system for Edward Waters, and it's a good system for the conference, because you're taking three teams and you put them in a situation as to where you can upset someone. And that's leading me to this question. This weekend, you played one of your conference foes, your conference rival, Talladega. Talladega is a good team. Very good team. Very sound, year in, year out. I kind of had some issues with Coach Ramos. He's a good guy. Every time in the last 6 years, every time I've talked to him and interviewed him, he's always said to me, you know, we're in a rebuilding year. We're not expecting to do anything. And boom, he pops up. And next thing you know, he's like, They're sitting on top of the world. This past weekend, Edward Waters played them in an emotional three-game series. And that series was about your former baseball coach who succumbed to cancer, Robert C.J. Cantrell. And it was an emotional weekend. That weekend, everything happened in that. I mean, when I say everything happened, everything was settled on the field. Players were running out ground balls, and it was making close plays. Guys were getting thrown out from the outfield. Guys did a lot of unbelievable things in that game. Can you tell me something about that entire series? And you dedicated that, I think that was a memorial set up for former coach Cantrell. Talk about that.
Yeah, it was definitely emotional. It's always an interesting weekend playing Talladega. Talladega is a great program. You know, Will's doing a great job. Yeah, I give him crap all the time as well. He keeps, we're not going to be that good this year. It's a rebuilding year. And they just throw out arms left and right, guys. Kind of balls out of ballpark left and right, making plays left and right. You know, and that's just his, he gives them recruits well. You know, he gives good guys in. I mean, guys that play hard. And, you know, this weekend, our guys, it clicked. Everything clicked together. We pitched it well. We played defense well. You know, we swung it well. And the memorial service on a Sunday was actually his birthday. His birthday was the 13th, and I thought it was fitting to do so. We were actually scheduled to play in Talladega, but after his passing, October 28th, Coach Cantrell passed away. I called Will and, you know, and I asked, you know, if it would be okay if we flip-flop weekends and play at home so we can, you know, do this memorial service. And he's been great, man. Will's a great guy, great program. You know, the players were great. And, you know, I definitely am very grateful for them to be as open and willing to allow us to honor him. But our boys played well, man. They, you know, like I said, we pitched it well. We played defense. We hit it, you know, and it was a good weekend. It was a good weekend.
Well, Coach, just to start winding this down a bit here, you just recently had a two-game series against the University of South Carolina, Buford. And you split that game. And one thing that I noticed was your Aces staff, Frederick Belts, came in relief. And he secured that victory. And it was kind of shocking to me to see that the ace of the staff would come in a relief appearance. And he picked up the victory. He picked up the save. It kind of got a little nip and tuck in that inning. It was a 7-6 victory. You guys pulled it out because of his pitching. We will be seeing more of your ace in a relief role?
As of right now, yeah. He's... you know, we've had some other guys step up. You know, like I said, you know, he kind of had a, you know, shaky start. To get him more comfortable, get him back comfortable. You know, we've been pulling him out of the pen a few midweeks, and you know, and Coach Waller has done a great job with our pitching staff. And you know, like I said, we were able to have guys step up. I mean, we've had three freshmen, you know, step up and have done very well. When, you know, some certain days you just don't have it. And there's been a couple of days in which Frederick didn't have his stuff, you know, got in a ball game, won a good ball game against Warner. And, you know, certain things happen. Other guys step up. So we thought it would be good, you know, to help build confidence as well as in certain situations to have him come out of the pen. And it's actually, honestly, because of all these cancellations that we've been having, you know, making sure guys get their innings, guys get their works, you know, because with us having so many cancellations, you know, we were scheduled to play a game, he was supposed to start, games were canceled, so he no longer has that start, so now we can use him out of the bullpen, you know, so it's been one of those interesting years where we don't have a set 1-4 guy, you know, it's kind of how the games play out, so, that's kind of happened where we've been this year.
How do you
know? And again, this weekend, the guys, I mean, well, yeah, Tuesday, I'm against UNCB, you know. Well, we talked about guys stepping up. The first game, you know, we played okay. You know, we made some mistakes, and UNCB is a great team, and they took advantage of those mistakes. And that second game, I don't know if you noticed, but we played a complete different starting nine, you know, and those were a lot of the freshmen, a lot of sophomores, and they stepped up, you know, and was able to take advantage of some mistakes and be able to pull out a victory.
What is the makeup of your team? How do you see you guys moving forward? Currently, you're 13-10. You haven't really made a move yet. You haven't really pushed yet. I expect that's going to happen. How do you see, what is the makeup of your team, and where do you see you guys headed before postseason starts, if you make it that far?
I mean, the makeup of the team is just pretty much, you know, like I said, we're still a young team. We're still a young team. You know, having three seniors in the starting starting lineup, and you know, the rest freshmen, the sophomores, and a junior. You know, like I said, we're a resilient team. The guys are, you know, keying in, they're buying in, and you know, taking advantage of, you know, other teams' mistakes and learning from our mistakes, and I see us making a push here. You know, I hope that the days off with these cancellations doesn't hurt us with, you know, having eight days between a game or 10 days within a game. But I see us, we're playing good ball right now. You know, the Ave Maria series, we ended up losing the series, but we were 2 plays away from winning all 3 games in Talladega, the Talladega sweep, and, you know, going into the Thomas and the USCB and then going into Thomas next week. You know, I see us playing up the year pretty solid.
Well, this week you did beat a top-ranked NAIA program in University of South Carolina Beaufort. They are a top-ranked program, and they are highly ranked. It came in, I think, with only 2 losses for the year.
Yeah, the ranking actually came out Tuesday morning, and they are ranked number 7.
Yes, very, very, very good team. They were that way when I played, back in my days of playing college baseball. Well, Coach, before I shut down on you, I want to say this to you. How is that stadium holding up? How is the field, the conditions? What do you think needs to be done to better that field?
A lot of love and care. The stadium itself is fine. You know, however, the playing surface, you know, we're working with the city. We're working with the city because it is a city facility. We're working with the city on making certain improvements, and they're actually scheduled to redo the dugouts. I just got a call yesterday to start on the dugouts Monday, which will take about a week to do that. And we're talking about restarting, laser grading the entire field. So that will help tremendously. You know, we have a new councilwoman in our district that's over that district, and there's a few other people in Parks and Recs and with the city of Jacksonville being appointed to different positions. So this year, it's been better with communications with the city and their willingness to help, as well as us as Edward Waters College, and we also share the field with Stanton College Preparatory, the high school. The both of us helping financially with the city. So I'm hoping that we can continue to move forward and make that field as good as it should be.
Well, it's been the home of Everett Waters College baseball for more than 30 years, and it'll probably be the home of Everett Waters baseball for the next 30. Coach, God bless you, and God keep you. Any parting shots you might want to add?
I just appreciate you guys, man. You know, the work that you guys have done. Thank you for the coverage. You know, the guys really appreciate it, and, you know, it's good that on the NAIA level and at HBCU, you guys are getting what they're doing now. You know, a lot of times we get looked over, and what you guys have done has been great, with what they've been able to accomplish, and, you know, it's for the guys, for the players, for the students. So I appreciate you guys, and thank you for all of what you guys have done.
Coach, it's not about us. It's about your program and all the many baseball programs throughout the HBCU nation. Coach, God bless you and God keep you.